Good morning.
Today's scripture is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verses 7 to 9. If you happen to have an illustrious Shed Bible, it is on page 611. Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, "Who is the Lord?" Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. This is the word of the Lord.
All right, good morning, everyone. The Lord be with you. My name is Troy, and happy to be our lead pastor. Thanks for being here today. We are sneaking up on the end of this series about the book of Proverbs. 2 days left, today and next week. I'm going to teach today. Tim Nelson's going to teach next week, and he's going to He's going to help us cross over the proverbial finish line. All right. You're dismissed. That's all I needed. I needed one bit of applause today. Hey, you've heard us multiple times talk about how unusual this book of Proverbs is. It's unusual character. It's really unique nature. And one of the reasons it's really hard to teach the book of Proverbs is that it doesn't keep the same train of thought for very long. Proverbs is literally all over the place. It's bouncing around all the time, sometimes verse by verse. And it makes it really hard to cover big portions of the book of Proverbs. It makes no sense to think about teaching Proverbs verse by verse. It would be strange to do that. It would be hard to find our way. And yet, not doing that, I'm recognizing there's a regret inside of me as we come to these final 2 weeks to recognize that there's a lot of Proverbs we haven't looked at. There's so much of this book in these 31 chapters that we're not going to get to. So I just want to let you know, today we're going to look at a ton of verses from Proverbs. There are tons of slides for you to look at. So this is one way of at least looking at a decent chunk of this book. That being said, I want to encourage you, would you at some point, not just in your life, maybe sometime soon, read the book of Proverbs. I just want to encourage you to read it. I've been reading it every week for about 2 months now in preparation to try to get this in me. And I will tell you that I think I've got it down to about 45 minutes. I think you can get there. Because you're going to see there's so much repetition. There's so many verses that are literally the exact same. But I would encourage you to get it in you. Go and dive deeply into this. Even though I've read it this many times, I continue to be surprised by this book. In fact, every time I read through it, I'm convinced that there are verses in Proverbs that weren't there the last time I opened my Bible. I'm convinced that I'm reading things. This last week, I'm convinced I read a couple of verses that somehow got dropped into my Bible new. Like there's a systems update on my Bible, and verses showed up that I have never seen before. It is so interesting. There are these strange sensibilities that are really hard to figure out. They're really hard to reconcile. There's this verse from chapter 20. It says this, "Blows and wounds scrub away evil, and beatings purge the inmost being." Huh? Right? I think that's meant to be profound, instructive, but what? There are these moments in Proverbs that I'm convinced are as wise today as they have ever been. Chapter 22 says this, "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person, and do not associate with one who is easily angered. Or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared." Isn't that powerful? How's that for a hot take in a day when outrage is encouraged, when outrage is celebrated? How about that? There are these verses that feel right, but then I realize I don't really know what I'm supposed to do about it. Proverbs 25, like a club or a sword or a sharp arrow is one who gives false testimony against a neighbor. It, like a broken tooth or like a lame foot is relying on one who is unfaithful in a time of trouble. Like one who takes away a garment on a cold day or like vinegar poured on a wound is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. Poetic, at least, right? So much poetry in Proverbs. Chapter 30 says this: there are three things that are never satisfied, four things that never say enough. The grave, the barren womb, land, which is never satisfied with water, and fire, which never says enough. And here's a verse that I'm convinced was not in my Bible last week, that I have never seen before and never stood out to me. So much evocative imagery on offer. For as churning cream produces butter, and as twisting the nose produces blood, so stirring up anger produces strife. What a book. You guys, the Bible is truly amazing. It is amazing. And I hope that for each one of you, as you spend time in the pages of the Bible, that you are surprised, that you are captivated by it. In fact, I would want to encourage this. If you're praying about your life in the Bible, would you pray? Maybe this isn't the prayer to pray. God, help me to fully understand the Bible. Maybe that's not your best prayer. Maybe your best prayer is something like this: God, help me to be constantly surprised by the Bible. And in my surprise, would you make my hunger for the Bible get more, bigger and bigger and bigger? That is what I would encourage you to pray as it relates to the Bible. Okay, so far in these 4 weeks, we've covered these postures. We've been talking about postures of Proverbs. We talked about the posture of wisdom. We talked about the posture of listening, the posture of being in fear of the Lord, and the posture of discipline. Today, I want to put before us a posture that may be slightly hidden, a little harder to see on the surface, a posture that is really scattered throughout Proverbs, which, again, this is the benefit of reading it all in one big chunk. Then it starts to come out. It's a posture that I think is captured really well in these three verses that Lori read for us. Look at this here. Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies, right? Here's your first. Keep falsehoods and lies far from me, and give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Those are the two asks. The theme that I want to tackle today is simplicity. The posture of simplicity. And I say that it's a hidden posture because, well, the word simplicity is never going to show up in Proverbs. You're not going to see it. It's not going to be explicit here. But I hope that you will see over these next couple minutes, Proverbs seems to be encouraging this posture of simplicity all over the place, constantly calling people toward a life of simplicity. And here I'll make the case for it. Okay. The reason why I think that simplicity is really important to us. I think associated, and this is not language the writers would have used, but I'm going to give it to us. I think the call to simplicity, Proverbs is encouraging you and I to declutter our lives. I think the call to simplicity is a call to declutter your life. I think it's a call to make space, to open up space in your life, to make space so that you can learn to live wisely, to make space so that you can give your attention, you can give your intentions to this well-orderedness that Proverbs is constantly talking about and elevating. The call to simplicity is a call to declutter your life. Because, Because our lives are super cluttered, aren't they? Do you feel like you've got a cluttered life?
Yes.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Yeah, aren't our lives so full that it can be really hard to learn to live wisely? Aren't our lives so full that it can be really, really hard to give your attention? It can be really hard to live toward the kind of life that God intends us to live. It can be really hard. You know, maybe most obviously our lives are really cluttered with possessions, really cluttered with stuff, with things. I think about basements. Literally and figuratively, I think about basements. How many of you feel like a basement lurks in the back of your mind at all times? Piles, bins, stacks, things that are right there. I feel like I've got this low-grade sense at all times. I just need to set it all on fire and start over again. Anybody else? And I don't just mean pyromaniacs. Anybody else? If you feel that. I mean, isn't that part of the appeal of moving house? Part of the appeal of moving house is that you get to purge. You have this sense of freedom. I can give my stuff away, and I can step into a new space and not feel so cluttered. Right? Do you have that sense? But our lives, I mean, they're really cluttered with more than just our possessions. So, what is that? Oh, that's cute. I didn't put this bin together, so these are surprises for me. Thank you. Some of us are cluttered with debt. Some of us feel a clutter of debt, that you know that there's this heavy pressure to keep up, or if you can, to push off payment. There's this sense of having to constantly negotiate. I mean, what do I do this time? And what can I put off for the next time? This heaviness about this finish line that is so, so far away from actually being fulfilled, this clutter of debt. Our lives are really cluttered with our schedules. Schedules that give us no margins. They give us no margins. They give us no intentional spaces to rest. No intentional spaces to rest, to recover, to reflect on how life is actually going. Schedules that keep us constantly bobbing and weaving and driving. Our lives are, they're cluttered with nagging habits and addictions. These realities that are consuming our minds, consuming our finances, consuming our consciences, consuming our bodies, consuming our sleep, consuming our minds and our time, at times consuming our relationships, at times consuming potentially even our jobs. Cluttered with those things. Our lives are cluttered by social media accounts that keep us feeling like, keep us feeling like we can't fall behind. Like, I gotta keep up. I gotta keep up on these reels and on these stories and on these updates, because if I don't, do you know how late into the night it's gonna take me in order to catch back up? Lives are cluttered with games on our consoles, games on our phones, games on our tablets. And these seemingly are innocuous games, but you start to realize over time that these games, they're asking you, they're compelling you, they're requiring you to keep coming to them so that you can preserve that streak. You got to earn those rewards that only come if you keep coming at it. You've got to keep that spot on the leaderboard. Lives are cluttered with, it's hard to say, our lives are cluttered with relationships. Some relationships that we want and some relationships that frankly we wish that we could just get rid of. Relationships that impose on us unhealthy and impossible expectations. Some relationships that give us, or that give us these feelings of guilt and self-doubt. Relationships that, some that have no respect for boundaries. They have no respect for time. Boy, our lives are really cluttered, huh? And at times, friends, at times, this clutter makes it really hard to do the things that you're supposed to be doing. Anyone feel that? Anybody feel that? It's really hard to do the things that are most important. I believe that Proverbs is calling us to a life of simplicity so that, to a life of decluttering so that the things that are most important can actually get the time and the energy and the intention that they need. I think this call to simplicity is really important and valuable for us. And so, in the spirit of that simplicity, here's what I want to do for the next couple minutes. I want to allow the words of Proverbs largely to speak for themselves. I want us to look. I want to help put in front of you these texts that are calling for this kind of simplicity. And I hope that we would be able to give our attention to these ancient words and consider this posture of simplicity. So first, Proverbs encourages simplicity of speech. And I would say first that I think Proverbs is calling you and I to consider keeping our words few. I think a call in Proverbs is to keep your words few. Chapter 12 says this, "The prudent keep their knowledge to themselves, but a fool's heart blurts out folly." It's really hard. It's really hard not to share what you know, isn't it? Particularly in an age when anybody can say anything they want, and it doesn't matter if it's true or accurate. It's really hard not to say what you know. Everyone's invited to blurt out whatever they want. "Those who guard their lips preserve their lives," Proverbs says. "But those who speak rashly will come to ruin." Do you ever feel that temptation? Do you know that temptation to speak rashly? To speak unguardedly? Do you know that? Do you feel that? "The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil." Are you noticing a trend here, by the way, in the use of powerful verbs? Do you see them? Blurts out, speaks rashly, gushes evil. Are you starting to maybe pick up on the encouragement to keep your words few? Here's a tough one for some of us. "Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. So drop the matter before a dispute breaks out." Woof. Anybody have a hard time just dropping it? Do you have a hard time just dropping it? Hard time avoiding a potential argument, dispute. "The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even tempered. Even fools are thought that they're wise if they keep silent. Even fools look like they're discerning if they hold their tongues. Use your words with restraint, Proverbs says. Consider keeping silent. Consider holding your tongue. This ancient book, it names human nature so accurately, I think. It says, to answer before listening, this is folly and shame. I'm so embarrassed how many times I answer before listening really well. How often do I jump to a response and realize I didn't listen first? How many of us feel the impulse to come to another person's defense, to jump into an argument that we weren't initially part of? Proverbs says this, like one who grabs a stray dog by the ears is someone who rushes into a quarrel, not their own. Think twice before you do this. And then finally, fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. Boy, could our world use some wise calm, wouldn't you say? It's truly swimming against the current not to weigh in on every issue, on every dispute, to restrict your words, to try to bring calm into situations. And in these days of outrage, in these days of insults, in these days of stereotyping, I wonder if one of the defining marks of God's people would be that we would keep our words few. Simplicity of speech, potentially as a defining marker of God's people. If you need some inspiration, maybe these prayers written by some of those in our kids' ministry could inspire us. And when we do speak, Proverbs is calling us to tell the truth. Tell the truth. It says, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. There are so many strong verbs in Proverbs, like it's trying to really emphasize a point. Detests is quite a strong verb. I think you're going to see how important truth is in the book of Proverbs here. It says, an honest witness does not deceive, but a false witness pours out lies. You get this sense that lies just lead to more lies. Like they just keep pouring out once you start. It's hard to put the plug into it. Evidently, it's better to be poor than a liar. God takes telling the truth really seriously. Again, it says the Lord detests differing weights, detests dishonest scales. They do not please him. And I know these are images that don't speak very strongly to us anymore. So instead, see if you can try to imagine this. Try to imagine a world where people aren't treated the same. Do your best. Try to imagine a world where people aren't treated fairly, truthfully. That does not please the Lord. On the flip side, it says that an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. Now, I'm sure this is obviously meaning a kiss that you desired from a person that you would have desired it from. But it's holding out honesty here. Honesty is actually pleasurable. How about that as an evocative idea? Honesty would be pleasurable. And then, like a maniac shooting flaming arrows of death. That's a great opening. Like a maniac shooting flaming arrows of death is one who deceives their neighbor and then says, "I was only joking." What? A maniac shooting flaming arrows of death. So much intensity. Are you picking up on the value of telling the truth? When you do speak, use your words to tell the truth. Limiting your words to only what is true is one way of living out simplicity. One more. Are you enjoying Proverbs, friends? Yeah. One final expression of simplicity. Proverbs seems to be proposing that less is better. Less is better. Now, this ancient context would not have had any conception of the kind of physical and monetary wealth that you and I know. There was no universe where this would have been imagined. And yet, there's still a constant caution against having too much. Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. And better a small serving of vegetables with love than a fattened calf with hatred. Does that make anybody feel or remember holiday meals? Where you're sitting with unspoken conflict, with unresolved issues. And then it makes a small serving of vegetables in a place with love not sound so bad. I think I'd give up that turkey to be in a place of love. Better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. Proverbs keeps offering up these comparisons to us and putting them in front of us so that we would now realize we desire something else. To stoke your desire, to say to us, don't you long for something better than just more stuff? Don't you want something better? The craving of the sluggard will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work. And then it says, all day long he craves for more. Pay attention. Pay attention to your craving for more. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Seek to be someone more than you seek to have something. And then, friends, hear these really poignant words. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Do Do not trust your own cleverness. You cast but a glance at riches and they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. Your stuff isn't going to last. And if you find honey, eat just enough, because too much of it and you will vomit. And I know that makes us laugh, and I end there on purpose because the principle is the same. Too much, and it's not good for you. Maybe less is better. Can you see the call to simplicity in these verses? Can you see it? The call to keep your words few. The call to tell the truth. When you do speak, tell the truth. The call to see the value in having less. Do you see it? All right, I hope Proverbs has provoked something in you. I hope that getting a deeper dive into some more of Proverbs has spoken clearly to you. And here's where I want to end. I want to end in this, again, in the spirit of simplicity. I want to close with three simple, straightforward prompts, some questions for your reflection. Do you talk too much? Do you lie too much? Do you have too much? Now, I don't typically like these kinds of binary yes, no sorts of questions. But I'm trying to get right to the point. Do you talk too much? Do you lie too much? Do you have too much? Now, I'm not sure what God would have you do in response to these prompts, but I know I feel the conviction of these questions. I know I feel these poking around at places in my life, and I'm willing to trust that it's not just me. So let's do this. Let's take 60 seconds of silence and just reflect on, maybe it's not all these questions. I think they're all of them, and my brain might start melting out of my ears. It's too much for me to handle. Maybe you pick one and we reflect on it for 60 seconds. And let's just invite the Holy Spirit. Spirit, bring to light whatever you need me to see. Whatever it is you need me to know, whatever path you need me to walk down, Spirit, would you speak? And then we will come together humbly to the table. So let's reflect. Spirit of God, speak to us. Your children are listening. God, we trust in your kindness and your goodness to us. And so in all the ways that you are speaking, in all the ways that you are revealing, in all the ways that you are leading, remind us that it is out of your love for us and God, would you well up inside of us increasingly more and more desire for you and for the way of life you want to lead us into. Thanks for hearing and answering our prayers, and we pray them in Jesus' name. And amen. Friends, the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. And let us give thanks to the Lord our God. And I want to come to this table in the simplest way that I know how. And so this is the prayer I would like to pray for us as we come to these elements. Okay, let's pray together. God, thank you. Holy Spirit, feed us. Jesus, remind us of your great love for us. And amen. Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. So take this and eat it." And in a similar way, he took the cup and he blessed it. And he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins." So whenever we take this bread and we take this cup, we eat it and we drink it, we tell the story again. We take it into our bodies and then we seek to live it out. A story which, if you remember, Jesus said is actually summarized. Everything is summarized in two simple commands: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And this meal summarizes the whole story. We call it the mystery of our faith. So we speak it every single week together. So I invite you into this simple and yet profound story again. And let's speak these words together. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. So I want to invite you to come. Come and eat. Come and be reminded of God's daily bread for you. You can be served right here down front. You can serve one another at these tables, allergen-free at all spots. Maybe today is one of the days where you dip into this bowl of water and you remind yourself of the baptism that's been gifted to us that reminds you of the cleansing work that happens inside, the work that's happening all the time that you can't necessarily see. Maybe today is a day where you ask someone to pray for you. I see Daylene in the back over here with a name. Oh, Paula, I'm sorry. Paula's in the back, name tag, ready to pray with you, for you. Find someone around you who can pray for you. Maybe this is a day where you just simply say, "I need a simple prayer." A day that you write something down and put it into the prayer walls. Maybe you light a candle. And it's a day where you give yourself just a little bit more passionately to the songs of response. Whatever that might look like, I want to invite you in these couple of moments to rest into the simplicity of this meal, but also to be struck in a new way by how profound the meal really is. Okay? So friends, all of you are invited. God says, come. Come and receive who you are, the body of Christ. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Amen. Thank you. That's good.